Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
As most of you know, my first teacher before Roshi Kennedy was Bernie Glassman. And Bernie Glassman started what's now a very well-known organization called the Zen Peacemakers. Before becoming a Zen student, Roshi Glassman was an engineer in the aerospace industry. And then Maizumi Roshi came to the United States from Japan, and Bernie started to sit with him and ultimately became Maizumi's first Dharma heir, meaning that Maizumi eventually made Bernie a teacher. And while Bernie was studying with Maizumi Roshi, he still worked in the aerospace industry. And he tells this story of driving to work one day, and he's sitting in traffic on, I think, the LA freeway, and he realizes he's surrounded by hungry ghosts. He has this experience of being surrounded by hungry ghosts. I believe the word is preti, P-R-E-T-I. You know, it sort of almost sounds like an LSD experience. But anyway, nevertheless, he has this experience, but he realizes these hungry ghosts who are hungry for affection, for love, for safety, to be free of suffering, that these ghosts are really him. They're not something separate from who he is. And in that moment, he realizes that the way that he will express his Zen practice is through social action, in helping the hungry ghosts of the world, feeding the hungry ghosts. And the first manifestation of that was the Grayston Bakery, which was in Yonkers. It still exists. It was based on the idea that you could produce a high-quality product, but employ all of the out-of-work people in the community of Yonkers. And sure enough, they were the Zendo. This is after Bernie received Dharma transmission, became a teacher, and came back to the East Coast. He was originally from Brooklyn. The Zendo was located in the Bronx, in Yonkers. And that was the first step into social action that Bernie took, because it provided jobs for homeless people. It also provided services. And at the same time, the bakery became successful. And from there, he entered into, or began, the Zen Peacemaker Order. And he founded that order with his second wife, Sandra Holmes. Her name, her Dharma name was Jishu. And they together founded the Zen Peacemaker Order. And it was based on three tenets: not knowing, bearing witness, and compassionate action, or what I always call the activity of wisdom. Now, I know over time I've talked a lot about not knowing, and also a fair amount about compassionate action, but much less about bearing witness, which is an extremely powerful practice. A monk once asked Joshu, "What is meditation?" And Joshu replied, "Non-meditation." So the monk says, "Well, how can meditation be non-meditation?" And Joshu replies, "It's alive. It's alive." So bearing witness is about being alive, but being alive in a very specific way. It's letting whatever happens, happen. And whatever arises, arise. And I think I've made reference to this article in the past, but I'm going to read this because I think it's a very powerful expression of bearing witness. So here is Bernie Glassman. He gets married to Jishu, and they go out to New Mexico, Santa Fe, to begin a new life together and to make Santa Fe the hub of the Zen Peacemaker Order. And the place where they bought had a central courtyard, hacienda style, and lots of room for their dogs and a big garden. And it was nestled in the shadows of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And as he writes, it was a perfect refuge for a couple planning to be on the road much of the year, sort of a place to return to rejuvenate after dedicating themselves to making peace. So he tells the story of going out there. He says, we arrived on Monday and moved into our house on Tuesday, and the following Sunday, as we were hanging pictures on the wall, Jishu complained of chest pains. She was hurried to the hospital, where doctors verified that she had suffered a major heart attack. For the next 4 days, though, she seemed to get stronger and better. But on Thursday night, Jishu suffered a second heart attack. And as he writes, she left this form of existence on Friday night, March 20th, the first day of spring, 4 days shy of her 57th birthday. Now imagine being newly married, having created this grand idea to contribute to world peace, moving to Santa Fe and setting up the headquarters. And in an instant, just like that, your partner is gone. So now this article is written right around the time that it happened. So he writes, people ask me how I'm doing, and it takes a while for me to reply, for it's hard to answer in words. Finally, I tell them I'm bearing witness. But how do you feel, they ask me. I'm raw, I tell them. Do you feel sad? I shake my head. Raw doesn't feel good or bad. Raw is the smell of the lilacs by the back door, not 6 feet away from her relics on the mantel. Raw is listening to Mahler's Fourth Symphony, or the song of sweet songs of sweet honey in the rock. Raw is reading hundreds of letters that come in, watching television alone at night. Raw is letting whatever happens, happens. Whatever arises, arise. Feelings, too. Grief, pain, loss, a desire to disappear, a desire to even die. One feeling follows another, one sensation after the next. I just listen and deeply bear witness. Now that's what Joshu meant by being alive. And this article is a poignant expression of what bearing witness means. It means, as you can see, being fiercely alive to our circumstances, whether they are suffering, boredom, or even joy. We become life itself in all its many forms. We are open without judgments or evaluations, taking in the incredible differentiation that exists in the world without having to establish categories. Bearing witness is, in a sense, being defenseless. No rationalizations, no denials. No projections and no attachments. Just this, right here, right now. Imagine being present to your partner, to your family, this way. Being truly alive, truly present. Also imagine bearing witness to yourself. What better way to receive ourselves, bearing witness to our shortcoming, without judgment or shame, witnessing our woundedness directly and open-heartedly, without diagnostic labels, and witnessing our gifts and our innate beauty, unself-consciously, receiving ourselves with total acceptance. Just the act of bearing witness can be healing and growth promoting. It creates a container of compassion and support, seeing ourselves as we are, not as we think we are. So being alive in this way, living life from a place of bearing witness, is incredibly powerful and incredibly beautiful at the same time. Imagine having a partner or a family member, or a friend, who could just sit with us and bear witness. How beautiful that would be. So not knowing, bearing witness, and compassionate action all go together. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking about the bearing witness part, even though they're really inseparable. So thank you for listening.